Today's TMS is brought to you by Piper Thibodeau and her new Kickstarter. It's called Daily Paintings, the Art of Piper Thibodeau. You can find it at tiny.cc/Piper. More later in the show. All right. Coming up on TMS, gotta scare 'em all.
Fox has a fox running around.
Gomez takes the top spot.
Caramia, Grand Canyon takes no prisoners.
Fly west, young man.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What would it be like to live all your life in a world no larger, say, than a single gigantic rocket ship?
You know, I'm already mad because I gotta get out my car.
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Wednesday, the 13th of July, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbitte.
Oh, hello.
Brian Ibbitte.
Hello, how are you?
I'm having phantom nerdtacular feelings.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it is like right around this time of year. Yep. Every year.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's gone, you miss it. It's definitely, there is definitely a feeling of, oh, yeah, this year. But you know what?
Part of it is, I just feel like this. Shouldn't I be more anxious? Shouldn't I be freaking out about something I'm supposed to be getting done? Shouldn't I be like last second preparing something? Like, mm-hmm, all of those feelings are there too. So yeah, it's kind of annoying. Yeah. It's like, no, Scott, the reason you did this is, A, because you got the 10-year thing, 2017, blah, blah, blah. You want to make a huge deal out of that. But the other reason you're doing this is because you wanted to get your book done. You wanted to kind of have July not be the literal definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm unable to let it be what it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Lame. Way to go, Scott. Yeah.
I mean, there's something to it. You'll look back at this year and you'll say, okay, yeah, I got these 8 things done, these 8 big projects done that I wouldn't have gotten done otherwise. So,
mm-hmm,
and they'll say, oh, and then there was that time in August that I met Brian Ibbitte out in Las Vegas and we had that really awesome time.
Mm, oh yeah. Remember that one time? That was a great time. Yeah. I got to figure out what's going on.
I know you got stuff potentially going on.
Yeah. Right, there's some stuff that got switched on me that I didn't have much control over, but I'm really trying to still make it happen. I haven't been to Vegas this year at all. And I usually go at least once a year.
Sure.
So if I'm going to go, and if it's going to be in August, we may as well go when Brian's going to be there.
Might as well.
Like, that'd be dumb not to try to do that. So that's the aim. That's the goal. That's the straight shot. I don't have any more metaphors. That's all I got.
You got to shoot when the ducks are flying.
That's right.
Strike while the iron's hot.
So speaking of striking while the iron's hot, I got a funny story to tell you. I know, sure, everyone's sick of hearing about Pokemon Go, but I got a pretty funny story about it. Yesterday I was here working and there was a portion of the day where nobody was here. Nick was out with Kim doing whatever and Carter's at work. And so it's just me and the dog at home.
Okay.
And I hear the dog barking outside in the backyard. Rawr, 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 and she never does that unless somebody's close or there's something weird going on. She's not a big barker. Okay. So when she does it, she is neither a big barker or a Bob barker. Oh my gosh. the scariest bug just landed here. Hold on. I got to murder it. I have to kill this bug. Oh, I don't like it.
Is it one of those dark purple looking ones that like twitch every time they walk? Do you know the ones I'm talking about? The flying ones?
Yes, I do, but I don't think that's what this here.
Oh, those freaked me out.
I smushed it, chat room. Can you see him? He's like got a weird green wing thing happening.
Mm.
Ugh. All right, that did not make my day better. Anyway.
Throw a Pokeball at it.
I just killed a bonkasaur, or whatever the hell it would be called. So she's barking like crazy. And I came upstairs. I'm like, what are you doing? And I poked my head out there. I'm like, Rainer, calm down. And she's looking toward the back of the house, which is separated between her and the back of the house as a garage. So it's almost like she's looking through it.
Mm,
and weird. I thought that was super weird. So I get up into the house. I'm thinking, whatever, she's just crazy. But then I notice some movement out by the back porch, which has a sliding glass door and some shades pulled.
Okay.
And I just see like a shadow moving.
Oh, God. Okay. Now,
we got this new door, dude, where you can walk up, and instead of it being a pull cord to open up the shades, mm-hmm. it's like a little slider, plastic slider.
Yeah, is it the one where so you've got the blinds within the panes of glass?
There you go. That's exactly right.
We've got the same thing. We love it.
They're the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. You never have to clean them. They totally work every time. They're the best thing ever.
Yep.
So I take that, and I go up expecting nothing. I thought maybe there's a dog way over on the other side of the road or something, or something's going on over there. I expect to see nothing. Mm-hmm. I flick that thing straight, and standing not a foot away from me, between me and the glass, is a kid of probably 8 or 9 years old with a red baseball hat, a backpack on, and weird looking shorts with shoes. He basically looked like a Pokemon kid, like Ash or somebody.
Like Ash, yeah.
And he's standing at the door with his phone aimed right at me, and I scared him so bad that he like lurched, tossed his phone half in the air, kind of caught it on the way down, and then ran faster than I've ever seen a kid run up the road. And I was like, I wanted to go, no, wait, you're fine. It's fine. I understand what you're doing. Anyway, apparently this kid sees a Pokemon in the house. Now, being the responsible adult that I am, after he had run off, mm-hmm. what do you think the first thing I did was?
Pulled out your phone to see what he was trying to catch.
I ran downstairs, grabbed my phone, went back up, and I'm walking around looking for it, and I found it. It was I don't have it handy. It's like a furry thing with arms. I don't know what it was. Nice. I don't know these things. It was really awesome.
I mean, this kid's on your property.
Yeah.
And you're,
he's on my steps.
I don't know if I would have been like, oh, no, wait, it's okay.
Well, I didn't want him to feel like I was some mean, horrible person that was mad at him, because I get it. He was trying to get close enough to catch one or whatever he was doing. I don't even know. I don't know why. Usually you have a little broader notification, right? You're out and the ring around you is telling you much, much further away. So I don't know why he felt like he had to get right up on the window. And at any other time.
Because he could have reached a Pokemon in the front of your house, like in your front yard by being that close in the back, right?
Totally. And I didn't recognize this kid. We're good stewards of the neighborhood. We kind of keep track of who's who and making sure everyone's happy and good. It takes a village, as you know.
Sure.
So, but I didn't recognize this kid. I don't know where he came from. And he was totally decked out like cosplay style for the Pokemon hunt. And that made it so much better. It was so much better that he was all in on this thing. And then just ran off somewhere. And so I don't know what happened to him. So, kid, if you ever hear this, I'm sure you won't, but if you ever do, it's fine. I'm not mad. In fact, I was, you gave me a good story to tell on TMS. So,
exactly.
Thank you.
And I took your Pokemon.
And I took your Pokemon. Oh, and you scared the hell out of me, by the way. Yeah, scared the hell out of me. You walked, when I opened those blinds, because you know how it is with that switch. You go, shlink, and the whole thing is suddenly visible. It's not like some slow rotation. It was just like, there he is.
Right.
I was like, Gertie finding a guy in a hazmat suit
through the back door.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so you got.
I came close yesterday. So I decided, I was doing something on my iPad, and then all of a sudden stuff stopped working, right? Like I was not able to surf on my iPad, and I was like, something's going on with the internet. Well, whatever. I'll pick up my phone. Pick up my phone, and the last app I was using was Pokemon. So I was going to get in and play some Bejeweled or check email or something, but it popped up, and immediately down in the bottom right corner, I see the outline of what's nearby. And the second icon is the unmistakable Pikachu.
Yeah. Hard to get. Rare.
Hard to get. Right. So I immediately click the little icon. I see that it's 3 footsteps away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, Tina, hold on. I gotta go. I'm going to go for a walk.
Yep.
And she's like, well, hurry back, because dinner's almost ready and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. So I start walking, and I do the triangulation thing where you start walking in one direction and the numbers weren't going down. So I turned right, and then it started going down to 2 footsteps. Oh, no. And then I kept going in that direction. It turned down to 1 footstep, and then it disappeared. It still showed the Pikachu icon, but no footsteps.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I'm like, oh my God, it's nearby.
Yeah.
So I kept going that direction, and boom, there it was. Appeared on my screen, Pikachu. Took a little snapshot of it with my phone, like, all right, check this out.
Yeah, prove to the world that you found him, sure.
Exactly. So I flicked a little Pokeball on it. First try, got the nice, the great little nice response. It catches it, starts sucking it up into the ball, bloop, bloop, and then poof. Pikachu escapes out of the ball, and the little clouds and he disappears.
Oh no.
And I'm like, crap.
How did that happen?
Well, I walk around the corner. Yeah. I'm heading back to the house and I walk around the corner and there's a teenager sitting there and we had kind of this knowing smile to each other. I said, you catching them all too? He's like, yeah. I said, yeah, back around the corner, there was a Pikachu a minute ago. And he goes, oh yeah, I just got that one. So I was like, crap, that's how it works apparently. When there's a rare one and there's a couple of you going for it, it's like a draw of who's going to get it.
So it's not true of a normal one, another Pidgey, which there are billions of them over here by me.
Where you can, everybody walking with you can get a Pidgey.
Yeah, you're hey guys, there's a Pidgey here, and then they all see the Pidgey. But when it's something rare.
It's something rare, I think it just dropped. Because I did not, I could not find it. Couldn't find it popping back up again.
Hot Beverages says you should have beat him up. Yeah, that would have helped.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten the Pikachu anyway if I would have done that.
Yeah, there aren't enough stories in the news about people doing stupid shit around this game.
Golly, the Today Show is covering it. Mm-hmm. Lester Holt was talking about it.
Yeah,
these businesses are growing, getting lures, and businesses up 75% for some of these people, but other people aren't laughing about the new Pokemon craze.
I'm Lester Holt, and I have no lips. If you notice that, he has no lips.
My upper lip does not move.
It does not exist. It barely moves. And I'm here to give you the news.
Yeah. So got back home and Tina's like, yeah, I can't get on my iPad either. So I decided, all right, well, let's see if I can fix that. We ate dinner and then I started working on that. Took a break for a little while to talk with Hammond or record a quick thing with Hammond over Skype, over my cell phone.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. And then worked on it basically from 5:30 p.m. last night until about an hour ago, and finally got stuff working about an hour ago.
Ugh.
Here's the deal. I had missed the tech support window for my ISP. So I got a hold of them after trying everything, after resetting the modem, resetting all the routers, removing the routers from the equation, just using the modem with Ethernet, using the modem with wireless. And it was saying connected, find a DSL, connected, find an internet. But I couldn't, if I went to another page, it was saying, could not load this page. You're not connected to the internet. So it's like, I tried hooking up NeighborNet and I think and it was too late for me to call Crazy Neighbor and just make sure things were still plugged in. I don't think they are because that wasn't working either.
Well, his bong fell over and knocked a cord out.
Right. Shorted out his router.
That'll happen.
So finally this morning I get on the phone with the ISP and they walked me through a couple tests. She's like, oh, okay. Yes. I think I found the problem here. You've got a data cap of about 250 gigabytes per month. And right now you're sitting at about 510 gigabytes.
Oh,
so they cut that off. I'm like, oh, 'cause I didn't get any sort of call or notification about this. What, how's this happening?
Did you even know you had a cap or whatever?
Didn't even know I had a cap.
Oh,
and she's like, yeah, well, it's supposed to come up on every page. Or on the first time you pull up the internet or first time you go to a new page every day, it should actually pop up a message saying you're on your, if you reach your data cap or you're close to reaching your data cap. And I don't use, up until the setup I've got right now, I'm not using the ISP's modem as my router. Basically, I'm using it as a transparent bridge. Mm-hmm. And then I'm using my own router to send the signal all through the house. Mm. And because of that, it won't show that message on my screen. So apparently they cut me off. They cut me off, man.
I'd be so pissed.
I was really ticked off. So she said, well, I'm going to go ahead and lift it for you. I apologize for that. Yeah, you should be getting a message and da-da-da-da. And
so what does that mean? They lift it for you? You no longer have the cap, or is it just me?
No, they basically reset my numbers. So I'm back to, I have 250 gigabytes more for the month. But guess what? It's only the 12th. At this rate, I'm going to hit that at about the 20th.
So what, did you do something that was a big downloady thing or something that's causing this?
Oh, no, but I use about, according to her, I use about 40 gigabytes of internet a day.
Oh, yeah, per day is about.
Cord cutting and, basically we watch everything now via the internet. I've been working on this this freelance project where these big files are getting sent back and forth. I can't believe I'm still using 40 gigabytes a day. So it must be like a combo of Tristan streaming videos and Tina watching stuff on her iPad, me watching stuff on my iPad, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But regardless, Looks like I'm going to be switching to a business account, which I was expecting to be about $40 or $50 a month more.
Well, I know what's causing it. Here, I found it.
Hardcore pornography.
That's what's going on.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
I got to see that stuff in HD, Scott. I need to see every pimple. I need to see every
nook and cranny. Yeah, let's call them nooks and crannies.
Exactly. Yeah. Every bit of stubble.
Yeah, I don't want to see anyone's cranny, by the way. No crannies, please.
No crannies.
Anyway.
I'm going to switch over to a business account in the next few days here, and it looks like it's actually going to be just a smidge cheaper to move over to a business account.
Oh, really? See, this is the other thing that bugs me about ISP stuff, is they hide everything so that you're paying more for a thing that sucks, and then it takes some nightmare like this for you to go, oh, well, what are your other options? Then you find out you're on the worst possible option you'd be paying. It sucks. It sucks. They're so not transparent about this stuff.
It's like an Arabian bazaar. They come up with whatever price they want. I mean, you're basically haggling, like, oh, you want internet? I can give you internet for 84 a month. How about 75 a month? 75 a month?
Yep. It's like Watto running the ISP. That is so true.
The Bulba is getting 30 megs down and 5 megs up.
You do a hell of a Watto. Have I told you that before? It's really strong. It's really strong.
The Watto is strong.
Will the Watto be strong with a listener? I don't know, but maybe. Why don't you call in and find out if you can participate in today's Stump Daryl question? We'll have some sort of prizes. Do you have anything new?
Yes, I'm going to add something.
Okay, you're adding something. It's Stump Daryl. That means you're involved. 801-895-4724. We take our first caller, and we have one right now. This caller's name is who? Who's this? Who's on the air? Hello? It didn't work somehow.
Maybe you hit your bandwidth cap.
Maybe. I don't know what happened. Hold on. This is very strange. Okay, there we go. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is William.
Well, hello, William. Can I call you? Go by William or Bill or Bill? What do you do there?
He just said his name is William. if he would have said his name is Bill, he would go by Bill.
That's a good point.
He's not filling out a form at the DMV, Scott. He's telling us his name when he says it's Bill.
All right, William.
And it's not Billy.
I mean, okay. William,
no Billy, no Billiam, no Willie, no Will, and none of that. It's straight up William. All right.
William, that's where are you from?
Yeah, where are you?
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Portlandia.
That's right. Land of hipster bastards.
And very weird people.
Yes.
When was your last voodoo donut?
We're going to hear it again.
It's just not my thing.
We're going to hear it again. See, this happens every time we have anybody from actual Oregon on and Brian mentions voodoo donuts. All the Oregonians tell us that voodoos are not any good.
And I'm with you. I'm totally with you, William. It's, you know, putting cereal on top of a donut is probably great right out of the oven. But after about a minute, that cereal is chewy and it's gross and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, and I just don't understand the lines with it. Yeah. You know, if you did, maybe there's a great French bakery here called La Provence. Mm. And that, okay, you know, I'll stand in line for that.
Yeah.
But like donut, I mean, there's some good places around, but I just don't get excited about donut. I don't understand. But like everybody goes crazy here when Krispy Kreme came in and voodoo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Voodoo is whatever. Everyone's got their regional overblown thing. But here's the thing that I just noticed. You said that place, the French place, is called La Provence. Is that what you called it?
Yes.
Yep. Is there any question in our heads why the British hate the French so much? Because their words are really annoying. Like, I don't mean anything, no offense, one of my favorite people in the world is French. It's just that they have really annoying sounding words.
Really, really made up sounding words, Scott.
They annoy the hell out of me. All right, it's good to have you here. Thank you for being on with us, William. We're going to teach you how this game works, and then we're going to bring Daryl in. So, Brian, explain.
Yes. So in a few moments, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question. What we want you to do is tell us whether you think Daryl is going to be successful in answering that trivia question. Well, I guess if he answers it, he's successful. But is he going to be right? That's what we want you to tell us. And what we're going to do, though, is give you the category so that you have a little bit of ammunition as you make this decision. And I wasn't trying to rhyme there, but I did anyway.
Nice job.
If you are correct today, you win a great prize from the Steam store. It is called Go Go Nippon, my first trip to Japan. And it is a text-based adventure about somebody's first trip to Japan.
Okay. This is amazing, man. Yeah, I know, right? Listen to the excitement in your voice.
No pigeon dating simulator here.
That's amazing. Go Nippon. It could be yours.
Okay, so I have a request.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I am totally blind.
Okay.
So,
like literally blind.
Can you donate that to a random person in the tadpole?
Yes. If you win, we are going to do it in your name.
Awesome.
And also, wow, that's hard. Is it hard? How long have you been blind? Your whole life?
I was born legally blind, and then I lost the rest of my vision about 4 years ago.
Okay, so here's my question. Blind people blow my mind because you guys have a weird optimism that I feel like I would not have, yet you all have it. You seem to anyway. Everyone that I know that is either legally blind, where it's just shapes and blurs, or fully blind, they all seem to have great attitudes, kicking ass, getting stuff done. I don't get it. Like I think I'm just a puss, is what it is.
No.
It's hard to explain. Is it because now you have super hearing and like you can hear people's thoughts and cool things like that?
He takes down bad guys with his billy club.
Yeah, we can see everything in the rain. You know.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
It's tough. I've grown up in the blind community arena, and I'm somewhat of an outlier in that they say your counselor says, well, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want. I'm like, I want to do Formula One.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I try to do the best I can. And what I have studied mainly has been neuroscience for the last 6 years.
Oh, that's cool.
Because what do I have but my brain?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have my vision, which is 80% of your sensory information. You only get about 20% of the other four.
Listen, Hell's Kitchen needs you more now than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like dating a Greek ninja.
All right, let's, Brian, what's this topic,
by the way? The category today is director Shane Black.
Oh, all right. Shane Black.
Because the other thing isn't really related.
I mean,
it's related,
agree.
But it's only tangentially related.
I completely agree. Shane Black, the filmmaker, producer, director, writer, known for a lot of action movies, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shane Black, that's your topic. Do you think Daryl's going to get it right or wrong?
Oh, man. Okay, so what is this director done?
He has done a whole bunch of movies.
Yeah,
like,
we can't really say that because that could be related to the question.
Yeah, it's part of the answers, yeah. You'd know him, though, from, I'll say this, that he's known for a very famous series of films, and this year just directed a new one.
Okay. And he does say that he directed The Nice Guys.
Yeah, he directed The Nice Guys. And he's also, he makes movies with... it's like a lot of buddy cop kind of scenarios.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That should help.
I'm going to say he's going to fumble around, but he's going to get it wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like that sounds like Daryl to me. Going to get it wrong. All right. Let's bring him in. Let's see how it goes. He is supposedly with the kids today. I don't know what that means. Not at work, I suppose. Okay. So he doesn't have to be all serious about some serious thing. He might even be on his
Maybe
home
better
mic.
Audio.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know it, Daryl.
Yeah, he'll have his microphone. He'll have his good microphone, so that's a plus.
In theory, here's this.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
It's time to stunt, Daryl. Daryl Skeel's on the line, actually in the studio, it looks like.
He's dancing too.
At home. Hey, I recognize that Captain America print hanging on your wall there.
Oh, yeah.
That looks good up there.
Nerdtacular, which we miss so much.
Yeah, we do. It feels weird that July's here and we're not all hanging out. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I should be panicking trying to find a way to get there, right?
I should be panicking trying to figure out how not to faint on stage. I should be doing that. Well, it's good to have you here. Why are you home? You got kid duty or something going on?
Yeah, kid duty.
That's all right. Nobody likes a big hunk of kid duty in the morning.
No. We get some rubber gloves.
That's right. Daryl's the nerd. He comes on the show and we ask him questions and he tries to answer them. On the line with us, we have William from Portland, Oregon. William, say
hello,
hi.
Hello, Daryl.
There you go.
Hello.
Yeah, you guys are close to each other. You both have
Seattle's
shitty
pants.
Yeah, you have shitty weather, both of y'all.
Whatever. I hear you say that, and you know what? Like, I lived in Seattle for 4 years.
Yeah.
And the myth is that it is rainy all the time.
Well, am I also wrong in assuming that everyone lives in a penthouse with his dad and a weird old couch and a tiny dog and a brother who's a little fastidious and a hot British lady?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, thanks, Frazier. You taught me everything I needed to know about about Seattle. All right, Daryl.
Does everybody there eat tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
I used to love that theme song. I still kind of do. Anyway, Daryl, you have a topic today to answer, and he's going to either help or hinder you in getting it right or wrong. The topic is Shane Black, the director, writer Shane Black. He made the movie this year called The Nice Guys. And when I give you your potential answers, all this is going to make sense to you, but I don't know what your knowledge of Shane Black looks like. What do you think about Shane Black?
I thought it was a shade of coloring.
Ah, you thought it was that weird crayon your kid just ate.
That's right. What's Rick shooting at? It looks like some sort of Shane Black.
Yeah, the Shane Black. Do you have any Shane Black? No, I've only got indigo blue. All right, fine. I'll take that. Daryl, here's your question. Shane Black recently wrote and directed The Nice Guys. This is a movie with, what's his name?
Russell Crowe and...
the good-looking dude.
Oh, my God. Why can't I remember his name?
Brian Bosworth.
No.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I can't remember his name.
He was in Driver.
Driver.
His name is Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. There you go. The girls love the Ryan Gosling. Yeah, he was Pumbaa. He played Pumbaa in the Lion King. Here's your question. He just made this movie. This is essentially a buddy cop / detective movie. And a pretty good one at that. I disagree. I was very disappointed. I wanted that movie to be great. It was okay.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
It was
great
okay.
Cast and
it was just okay. And I know the critics loved it, and I may be alone, and that's fine. I just I was disappointed. Anyway, what other buddy cop film was he also the writer for? Was it A, Red Heat? Was it B, Lethal Weapon? Was it C, 48 Hours? Or D, Bad Boys? So again, your options are Red Heat, Lethal Weapon, 48 Hours, or Bad Boys.
What you gonna pick? What you gonna pick when they come for you?
Oh, it's gonna rhyme with pick, and the only word I can think of is
I wasn't about to go there.
It's a bad context for this show.
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that thing in Brian's background that's twirling nonstop?
Oh, what's that, your kinetic thing?
Yeah, it's kinetic art that Tina got for me. Basically, it's the cat's Game of Thrones.
Oh, you usually don't see that. Video when you're at work, do you? You don't see what's going on back there. Yeah.
It looks like the thing, the thing from Contact.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like this.
Totally.
What's that thing?
Okay to go.
What's it?
Okay for go. Okay for go.
Kitty says, what? Where are we going? What?
All right. All right.
Go back to sleep.
So what do you think there, Daryl? Or should I say, William, do you have a direction to push him in?
Yeah, push me in a direction.
Push him hard.
Oh, yeah. Push him really hard.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm going to say D, maybe, but if Scott didn't care for that, and I don't think the critics did either, so I don't think it's D.
I kind of like
but
Bad
that's the
Boys,
only
though.
One that I thought of.
I kind of like Bad Boys, though. I kind of like that movie.
Yeah.
Actually, everything on this list I kind of like, although Red Heat, I don't think I ever saw Red Heat, and I am desirous to film sack that. We need to, at some point, get to Red Heat, because that's the Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yes,
I'm a Russian cop
Jim
deal.
Jim Belushi, right?
Yeah.
Jim Belushi in a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, that was like, oh, John Belushi died, but at least we have his brother. Oh, he's not as good.
I'd say he's a different kind of good.
He's fine.
He was great in that the principal movie or whatever it was.
Sure. He's fine. I actually really don't have any problem with him. I think he's fine. It's just that's hard.
He's just not as good a Belushi as John was.
Yeah, and it's just a hard thing to be as the brother of this genius.
Right.
You know?
Well, we saw the same thing with the brother of Chris Farley, like when he was doing his stand up and stuff. He's not as funny as Chris Farley, but he's a different kind of funny.
He's a different kind of funny. Yeah. All the funniest ones die early. It's terrible how that happens.
Yeah.
So, Daryl, what do you think?
Hang in there, Scott.
He thinks D, but what do you think, Chief?
I'm going to... I don't know. I guess I'll... Well, the middle two are too big.
too popular.
Lethal Weapon in 48 hours.
Lethal Weapon in 48 hours. Mm. So, well, I don't know. I guess I'll pick Bad Boys.
All right, you say Bad Boys. The Will Smith. Who's the other guy? James Gandolfini.
Quit doing that.
It's Bomba. Bomba.
God, as soon as you say it, it's like right there on the tip of my tongue. Martin.
Oh, Martin Sheen. Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence.
It's like you just completely derailed. It's like my train is about to come into the station, and then you just kick it over. And its wheels are going.
I love doing it. All right.
I know.
Jackalope says, get a grip. You get a grip, Jackalope. You get one. All right. Let's find out if that answer is correct or not. I got a little thing here to play. Here we go. Let's find out. Here you go. Oh.
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
It's wrong. However, our listener thought you wouldn't get it right.
Oh, good.
Well done. Yeah. The answer is Lethal Weapon. I'm a little surprised knew this. Or I think, William, you knew that though, right? You knew it was Lethal Weapon? Or no?
Yes.
Okay, you did know. I think it's very common knowledge that Lethal Weapon is his bag. He's most famous for that. Also, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and some other really good movies. Although I would argue that most of the Lethal Weapons aren't that great. First one's great. The rest of them are okay. They're all right. Anyway, Lethal Weapon, he wrote and created the Lethal Weapon series and wrote both the first and second films. Here's a clip of The Nice Guys. So, for some reason, that.
Marge, we're going to play a game.
I think you're in the wrong house.
It's called Shut Up Unless You're Me.
I love that game.
You're a private investigator?
Just $20 in there, all right? Just take it.
No, I told you. I'm not here for that. My messenger. Give me a lift, Arnold.
Oh, it's so good, that movie. It could be. So good it could have been. But it's not that great. It's kind of shitsy. Shits show. Shitsy. It's a little shitsy.
It's a small dog.
It's a small dog. Yes, exactly. Well done there, William. We're going to get you this info. Oh, no, we're going to give this away on his behalf. Yeah.
Yes, please do.
So we're going to do that. Thank you so much for playing. You're a trooper and a man. Let's find out where... He's a man. What's wrong with me? Let's send it to somebody in the chat room. Brian, how do you want to pick them?
I'm going to ask a trivia question about Shane Black.
First person
with the right answer gets the prize.
All right.
Tell me what superhero movie Shane Black was the writer for.
Oh, I know that one.
Let's see
who does it
first.
First
person to respond is gonna get this.
Oh, I think they'll be right.
Not yet. There we go. Sidian.
Because it's Iron Man 3, not just Iron Man, but Iron Man 3 is the correct answer. Look in your Skype, by the way, Scott. I just sent you a screenshot for this Go Nippon game.
Okay, hold on here. Let's pull it up.
I might want to keep this one for myself, actually.
Oh my gosh, what is happening? Okay, I'm going to put this up on the... here you go, chat. You guys can take a quick look at this here. Okay, there you go. That's your... Oh, so what is this supposed to be?
It is a text-based adventure.
That doesn't look like text to me. Oh my gosh.
All
right.
It's one of these where you encounter people in Japan and then you get choices as to which phrase you want to say to them. And so, this woman comes up to you and she says, oh, where would you like to go eat? And you have a choice of anything cheap or I want to eat noodles.
All right. Well, hey, congratulations, Sindian, or whatever her name is. Wow, what a win! What a win!
I
want to
hear
you.
About how good this game is because I might pick it up for myself. It looks hilarious.
Dwarfheart killed it. He says, "Somebody leave Reddit open." Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. Right.
Oh my lord, that was fantastic, Daryl. What were you just aiming at there with your camera? What was that?
Oh,
about?
My son keeps peeking around the corner. It's time to go.
Is he going somewhere? You got to get out of here then.
Yeah.
All right, give us a Google thing real quick. What do you got? You got anything quick?
Oh, I don't have anything at all.
Oh well, then good. Oh, then this is easy to say. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and also on This Week in Trek.com. Find him on there. Okay, everybody. Oh my gosh, good lord! All right, bye.
Wow,
that was weird.
Yeah, this is. I'm just looking at screenshots from this game. I totally think I'm picking it up. And you know what's funny? There's a couple things that's like, God, I wish I would have played this game before I went to Japan last year, because one of the screenshots is explanation over which subway lines you can use the full day pass.
Really?
It's like, yeah, that actually came up as a point of contention with this. It's like, oh crap, we bought the wrong pass. Had I played Go Nippon, before that, then who knows? We might have saved ourselves a couple hundred yen.
Might have been helpful.
Might have been.
Even though like a couple hundred yen is like what? Like 5 cents?
No, it's like $1.80 or something.
It's cheap, it's right? Cheap. Yeah. You need to change. Listen, I'm going to make a controversial statement. Hey, Japan. Y'all should be less granular with your money. I don't want to go into a stereo store and be told that something cost me 300,000 yen when really all you mean is 50 bucks. Okay? It's weird. Time to change. Time to come up with a new yen number. Like, say, you know, if it was all pennies here in the States, we'd be just as dumb, right? Mm-hmm. So change it so you got 100 pennies and a dollar. How about there's 1,000 yen per yen bonker or some other name?
Let's see, with markets fluctuating like that, you couldn't do it because there's going to be times when 100 yen is not going to equal 100 pennies, you know?
Well, but for them, it always would, like just like it does for us. It may not compare well against the dollar, but within its own currency, it would always be that.
I see what you're saying. So like...
So it's always 4/4 to a dollar for us, regardless of the value of it. It's always 4/4. Okay. So for them, they just need to get away from the yen being like sand in the sea. Because right now it's like, how much is that burger? It is 400,000 billion yen. What is that in American money? Oh, that's like $4. Oh, yeah. All right. It's dumb. I hate that. But I do like the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
I'm going to use this one right here. It's brought to you by Coverville, where today you're going to be hearing covers of and by Linda Ronstadt. Now, Linda Ronstadt, best known as a cover artist. Mm-hmm. A lot of her biggest hits, When Will I Be Loved, You're No Good, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, stuff like that. Her biggest hits, all covers. So we're going to hear different versions of those songs that she covered and made popular in her own way, as well as a couple other things that were originally by her, including a cover of Somewhere Out There from An American Tale, sung by a couple of guys from the TV show Community.
Whoa.
All this and more coming up at Coverville today. 1 p.m. Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters. At Coverville.com/live.
I can't imagine which two guys from Community it was.
Can't even imagine.
Yep, can't pinpoint it. I'm sure it was Chevy Chase and one of the girls.
And right, exactly. It was Annie. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. What's his face? Dan Harmon was saying that he was on Larry King's show a couple days ago, and he's saying, yeah, we're going to make a Community movie. I just got to wait until everybody's freed up to do it. But
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So it's,
I'll bet the bald Dean guy is not doing anything.
I think he's free. Well, yeah. He's, you know, he does all that directing and stuff.
Yeah. He's right? In stuff, but I'm just saying, you know,
he's like a writer and director for other things. It's Childish Gambino that you got to worry about. Donald Glover, because he's just started a new comedy for FX.
And yeah, his star was always on the rise.
Yeah, so totally.
That was going to be hard. And what's her name's in a new show? Can I give her name now? Anyway, the blonde.
Yes.
Jerry Ryan. Nope. Yvonda Van Spleek.
That's all I can hear. There goes my train, just right off the tracks. Plowed into a bunch of houses.
Gillian Jacobs.
Gillian Jacobs.
There you go. Jacobs. Yeah, she's something. She's doing something.
Yeah, she's on that, it's a Hulu show, I think, called Love.
Oh, right. It's regarded well. People like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to see that,
she
actually.
She plays a bad girl.
I'm required by law, because of a Hotline Monday commitment, I have to binge watch the first season of Mr. Robot so that I can then watch the new season.
Good, you should, because it's worth seeing.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, but it's on Amazon, so check it out, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gretchen Carlson, Fox's own Gretchen Carlson. You know who I mean, like the Fox in the Morning lady?
Yeah. The one who had the privacy issue in the hotel room where somebody got the room next to her and...
No, different lady. That was ESPN sports lady.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Right. No. It's you're not wrong. You're in the neighborhood of what the problem is.
Right. Apparently so. Yeah.
Gretchen Carlson speaks out about sexual harassment lawsuit. Quote, I just wanted to stand up for myself, she says, in her first interview since she filed a lawsuit against Roger Ailes, the former Fox News host, added this. And by the way, Roger Ailes is the head of Fox News.
Right. Aaron Andrews. That's who I was coming.
Oh, yeah. Differently. Yeah.
Thanks, Dwarfheart.
I wanted to.
Dwarf Heart.
Yeah.
Not Dwarf Heart.
Dwarf
Fart.
Dwarf Fart. Dwarf on Fart. It's a great video. Check it out. She added, I wanted to stand up for other women who may face similar circumstances. It's hard when you've been a victim. You keep thinking things are going to get better. Former Fox News host Gretchen Carlson. I didn't know she was former. I thought that show was still going on.
Yeah, that's so too.
But I don't watch Fox News, so that explains it. Spoke for the first time about her sexual harassment suit against Fox News chairman Roger Ailes in an interview with the New York Times. Carlson filed a lawsuit on July 6th, claiming she was let go from Fox as a retaliation for rebuffing his sexual advances. Have you seen Roger Ailes, by the way?
Yes. I saw a photo of him.
He looks like the guy, and if you're going to make a Mad Max movie and you need someone who works on the mechanics stuff in the back in the garage, like he's the one working on stuff, that's that guy. That's what he looks like.
He's a little, yeah.
We need more motors to make the cars run and gasoline. Like he just looks like one of those guys.
He's kind of a Hitchcockian look to him.
Mm-hmm. He's like the guy in Fury Road with the nipples cut out of the tuxedo and the giant club foot. That's what he looks like.
right.
And apparently behaves like him as well. Anyway, she told him that she claimed it was retaliation. According to the complaint, when Carlson met with Ailes to discuss the discriminatory treatment to which she was being subjected, Ailes stated this: "I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be better and better, and I'd be good and better." What does that mean?
What?
I think you and I have had. Wait, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be better and better, and I'd be good and better.
I don't know what the heck that means.
I don't either. Adding that sometimes problems are easier to solve that way.
So oh my God. You'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better. What does it mean?
Really, really weird.
It's so damn confusing. Is that like a 1920s pickup line?
Yeah, you'd be better, I'd be better. Good and better. Exactly right. She hosted The Real Story with Gretchen Carlson, also said that her Fox and Friends host, Steve Doocy. Is that how you say that guy's name?
That's the only way you could pronounce that name.
He's the goober that always says the dumbest things on that show.
He's the guy that not Horatio Sands, Bobby Moynihan always plays in the SNL.
Yes,
right,
that's the guy. Says that her co-host Steve Doocy, quote, had created a hostile work environment by regularly treating her in a sexist and condescending way. So Steve Doocy got a little dirt on his hands there. What are you guys doing over there? You're all sitting there talking the high talk about how everyone sucks but you, and you're all religious and everything on your Fox in the Morning show. And behind the scenes, you got two guys poking their wieners where they shouldn't belong. Freaking. Anyway, good luck to all those people. Selena Gomez has beaten Justin Bieber to a pulp. I'm sorry.
Great. That's wrong. Hopefully headline. With a baseball bat.
I had it wrong. Beat her and him and herself for most like Instagram photo of all time.
That's some news right here.
If you can't beat them, join them and then go ahead and beat them. Selena Gomez has 89.1 million followers on Instagram.
Wow.
That is a lot of bots.
That's a lot of retweet bots. Yeah,
that's a lot of bots. Anyway, launched her into Instagram, how flamed this month with the most liked image in social media's history. At 4 million likes, the 23-year-old singer's photo surpasses the previous most liked image by about 300,000 likes, which also coincidentally featured Selena Gomez, funny enough. The new most lauded pic, posted 2 weeks ago, is a sultry snap of Selena in a red top, staring directly at the camera, sporting her new hair, long red nails, and her signature music note tattoo. Selena sips Coca-Cola from a striped straw.
Jeez Louise. There you go. That was for William, who can't see the Instagram pic, and now it's described in every painful bit of trivial detail.
Yeah, there's even more. Check out this great Elon line writing. It says this. I should have some sexy music for this. It's fine. It goes like this. Selena captioned the picture with, "Your lyrics are on the bottle." A nod to her song, Me and the Rhythm, from Revival. The song was used in a Coca-Cola advertisement for their recent Share a Coke and a Song campaign, which, you guessed it, features song lyrics on Coke bottles. Here's the best part. Whether it's the beachy waves in her hair or those come hither eyes, there's no doubt that this pic is hot.
Jeez.
But what makes it the most liked Instagram post in history?
Selena has a dedicated fan base and is currently on tour. After releasing a new album, she might actually be a little like Alex Russo from The Wizard of... Blah, 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 blah. Who gives a shit?
Exactly. Oh, I'm looking at the... wow, looking at this photo.
Yeah.
It looks so candid.
Yeah, so candid and free. Here, chat room. I'll give you a, peek. If you can't see it, if you haven't already clicked it. Oh, it's taking forever to load. Oh, there we go. So she's 23... with a Year of the Spark. Is that part of her song, the Year of the Spark part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's lyrics for her song.
That's her. Oh, this is the one that had the most likes previously, which is the other one below that with her kissing Bieber in a pool or something.
Mm.
And then below that, you got the Kendall Jenner hair deal with the hearts and the hair.
Right.
And I hate all these people. I just hate them. I hate them so much. Here's a sad story. It's a little Darwin-y awardy, but I feel bad for her. A woman has fallen to her death hours after she posted her Grand Canyon photo.
Oh, geez.
A Florida woman plunged hundreds of feet to her death in the Grand Canyon National Park. That place takes no prisoners. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Hours after posting a photo that appeared to show her sitting on the cliff ledge overlooking the canyon. Her name is Colleen Burns, age 35, of Orlando, had been hiking and taking photographs with friends for sunrise when she accidentally stepped off the edge of the trail. Rangers found her body approximately 400 feet below the point, which is located about a mile down the south. How do you say that? Kaibab trail.
Yeah.
Anyway, just hours before the fatal fall, Burns reportedly posted a photo on Instagram. The caption read, "That view, though." That's sad. I don't want the last thing I do is a social media post. I really don't.
Right.
I don't mind if I have to. If I have to die in a horrible way, fine. Let the fates have their way with me. But I don't want to like say on Twitter right before that, "You guys ever heard a squirrel fart?" And then find out I'm dead.
And that be your last. That be your legacy.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that. I've got it.
Right. I'm on the clip club. Ha ha.
Oh no, I'm dead.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I hope her family.
That was me making fun of Scott. If this were to happen to Scott,
not making
fun of this person.
Yeah, let's clear that up. We're not making fun of her at all.
Yeah.
Final story here. You got one here that is about this here. Why is it harder to recover from jet lag when you fly east? Didn't know this was true. I had no idea. If you've ever found that recovery from jet lag took even longer than you expected, physicists have answers. A new mathematical model helps explain why flying east is tougher on jet lag recovery. So if you fly now, what are they saying? Fly.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I just, you know, doing this whole trip to Milwaukee and Chicago.
Yeah.
I felt like coming back, I was exhausted for 2 days. I would fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night after we got back. So do they mean flying east and then coming back?
I think that's what they mean. You go east and then you come back west and you have a problem. And they say this, that takes into account how certain cells in the human brain respond to crossing time zones, according to the study. This was published on July 12th in the journal Chaos. There's a journal called Chaos?
I don't know. That's awesome if there is.
I can't think of his name. Is what's his name from Independence Day on the cover? Smiling with a little leaf going here.
Randy Quaid? Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
I had to quickly get that name in before you start saying James Flingle Flamble.
Please step forward.
Edward von Schmittenstein.
I'll take a play to that. These cells called neuronal oscillator cells regulates people's circadian rhythm or our biological clock by syncing up with one another and also linking up with external cues like light and dark and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's easier when you gain time by going backwards or west than it is when you lose time by going east. Hmm.
So it is traveling west that is supposed to mess it up. So if I were to fly to California,
it'd be fine.
I think that would be. Oh, is that the easier one?
That's the easier one. So if you fly to California, well, let's say you flew to whatever 2 hours away is, going west,
Hawaii or something.
Yeah. Yes, that's supposed to be easier on you
than coming back from Hawaii after being in Hawaii for a week and getting used to the.
Correct.
Yeah, makes sense. Totally makes sense.
I think that makes sense to me too. I don't feel like they needed a journal called Chaos or a doctor to tell me that. I feel like I could have figured that one out.
So as long as, here's what I need to do then. I need to go from Hawaii to Tokyo, mm-hmm. and then from Tokyo to the UK, and then the UK to New York, and then New York to back to Colorado. And as long as I keep going west, I'll be totally fine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That sounds good to me. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dear friends and listeners of the Morning Stream, let me take a moment out of today's program and talk to you about Piper Thibodeau. Have you not heard of her? Incredible artist. She's a freelance character designer from Montreal, Quebec, known for her ongoing daily painting series. She's completed more than 1,300 of these paintings over the last 4 years. And man, the Daily Paintings art book is now up for a Kickstarter. It's going to collect the best of these paintings, concepts from personal projects, even some artwork that's brand new, into this beautiful 140-page hardcover art book. If you like good art, you're going to love Piper. My daughter was a huge fan before I even heard about this. I think you're going to like it too. Here's where you need to go. tiny.cc/Piper, P-I-P-E-R. Piper, just like it sounds. And check it out, man. It's really amazing. There's some great rewards in there. Things like name in the book, video character design tutorials, digital and printed books, art prints, commissions, and so on. That's the Daily Paintings, the art of Piper Thibodeau. Help her out today at tiny.cc/Piper. That's tiny.cc/Piper today. And we're back. Hey, now we're leaving again because there's music to play. It's Indie in the Middle, and Brian's brought some music, and I'm really excited to hear whatever the hell you've got. So what have you got?
Oh, this is so cool. This is this came out at the beginning of the month. It's an album by Palomica called Petito, and it is a self-described as a home-recorded, clumsy rock and roll project of Nicole Parkinson. It's incidental outside sounds alongside tumbling words and occasional guitar flourishes, sometimes melodic, sometimes cacophonic.
Mm.
All right. It's really good. I'm really liking this. And I think you're going to like it too. This is a song called Honeydew. And check out the rest of this album. If you like this, and I know you will, make sure to pick up the rest of the album. Here's Honeydew by Palomica.
All right. I'm going to play it. We'll be right back. Everyone hang tight.
Yellow, but you looked so blue.
My bag was really heavy and the rain was too.
lemon, yellow, mustard, yellow, gummy, and melon, honeydew.
And yet as man reaches out to the stars, out toward infinity, ironically enough, he may be building himself a new kind of prison.
Well, it's a big day today. You're almost a man.
Oh, hold on. That's shit.
This is the Morning Stream. Pop, mother effin' I.
All right, we're back. Good Lord. That was great.
Isn't that fun?
Someone in the chat said it was like a combination of Camera Obscura and Belle and Sebastian. And I agree. Sure, yeah. Very, very similar to that. I'd
Yola
love that.
Tango. Yeah, it's some happy pop, man.
Yeah, who's the other? There's a girl who does stuff. Shoot.
Lily Allen?
No, she's... She did a whole bunch of songs for kids, too, at one point. But she did some Juno music. Oh. I can't remember her name. Hmm. Someone in the chat will remember. She reminds
Moldy
me of that.
Peaches. Well, Moldy Peaches did some of the stuff for Juno.
Kimya Dawson, that's it.
Oh, Kimya Dawson,
yeah,
sure.
Reminds me of that, where it's like people who can't actually sing, kind of, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, not the traditional way, but they right, still, it's right. Just charming and awesome. I love
totally,
that.
Yes.
Really like that a lot. All right, what now? What's now? What's happening now? Oh, I know what's
happening.
That's right. Let's get Nicole in. I saw her in the chat, so I know she exists. She's home. She's back.
I believe in
exactly
in Nicole.
She's back in the hot oven known as Surprise, Nevada, or Arizona, rather. And we'll see how she's doing. If I could find her little clip to play, I know I've got it here somewhere. In fact, I'll bet you it's right here if I just click hard enough. Yep, there it is. Nicole Spagnuolo, what's going on?
Do you believe in me?
I believe in you. You're real.
I exist. I exist.
I believe you're real.
I believe.
Yeah, you're like a real person, and I believe in you. You're home, and you're probably, what's it like coming back to the climate that no man was meant to live in?
So 18 days. I did not realize we were on the road for 18 days.
That's a long time, dude.
Wow.
With a 8-month-old and a 4-year-old.
They sounded like they did okay, though, right? Like they.
The 8-month-old, a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 4 months. Yeah. He cried more than the baby.
Oh man. Yeah. No. Aww. It's funny. Babies are great in a way because they don't know why. And when they're upset, they don't really know why they are. And then when they are not, they don't know that they should be. You know. Like it's like the car ride is probably to them. It's just like, oh, well, I'm 8 months old. I don't know. What the hell? What's this? It's a thing I'm doing. Well,
and I think, too, for most people, for most babies, there's really three main things.
Yeah.
They're hungry. They're tired. Mm-hmm. Or they have poop on their butt.
You know,
they're not all mutually exclusive.
Right. Turns out those are the three things that get my mom down these days as well. Well, I'm really glad to have you back, and I'm glad that the trip went okay, and that you was eventful.
Got to hang out with Brian, and
yes.
Did you guys see him on the way in and out, or just on the way in?
Just on the way in. Mm. We missed him. We needed to leave. Yeah. We were 5 days in a hotel because we went up back to Denver. Mm-hmm. Because I'll just say right now we're looking at that area, mm-hmm. and to get out of. This place that, mm-hmm. like you said, no man should be.
Yeah.
No. Yep. Nicole could potentially be as close as that Pikachu was.
Yep.
To my house.
Weird. Think of that.
That's crazy.
I'm your biggest fan, Brian.
Totally stalk him. I want that to happen. I think that'd be awesome.
No, we didn't realize
it. Time to make sure the front camera on my house is working.
Yeah. I think that's great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. All sounds like fun stuff.
Lots and lots of fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. also not a pain at all. None of that will be hard. It'll all be simple and easy. You just get up and move, right? No problem. Peace of cake.
Yeah.
Not hard at all. Nonetheless, we're just also glad to have you back because recommendals is a thing.
I wanted to lead in with that 18 days of traveling, mm-hmm. to tell you that I really have nothing for the theme.
Me neither. Good. I don't feel so bad.
It's funny. We were going to watch a movie last night and I didn't have internet, but I have a recommendal that fits thing.
Yeah, I do too, but it doesn't fit at all.
Mine doesn't fit.
Yeah. Well, Brian, let's see how you
can sort of fit.
Brian, we'll see how yours fits. I mean, it sounds like you may be onto something here. Sure. Anything to lead up with your clip here?
Yeah, animated movie. The voices you're about to hear. Oh, by the way, our theme was the characters are animals, and the action takes place either in a boardroom, a bedroom, or a bar room. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the voices you're about to hear are Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin.
Oh, I think I already know. All right, here it is.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid this is a private function.
Who are your friends, dear?
Crawling insects. Oopsie.
Oh, the poor dears. Good morning.
Huh? Darling, really? Greeting every insect that emerges out of the grass?
Pardon me. I guess you don't recognize me. I've been traveling, and I'm all schlumpy.
Sharon Stone.
I'm Princess mm-hmm. Bala.
Oh, it's even worse. They're Eurotrash.
All right, it's ants. Yeah. It's ants. Isn't it ants?
Exactly what it is, okay. Yes.
Yeah, the Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, Sharon Stone, Sylvester Stallone.
Technically insects, not animals.
Correct.
Gene Hackman in there. One of
Gene. Christopher Walken, mm-hmm. Danny
Did
Glover.
You say Jane Curtin, too?
Yeah,
Jane Curtin.
I was going to... When you said that, I immediately thought of Coneheads, but
yes, yeah, exactly.
Bringing them back together one last time. Actually, exactly. I wish there were more things with those two in them. I think Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd make me happy, and I wish they did more things today.
Yeah, I agree. They were great on, obviously Saturday Night Live, but didn't he make an appearance on? Oh, what was it? It was
Kate and Allie.
Kate and Allie. I want to say that he made a couple appearances on there, too.
You know how I couldn't remember a thousand names today, but I remembered Kate and Allie. What the hell is wrong with me?
Right. Well done. Yeah. Well done. This actually, it's funny because this came out around the same time as A Bug's Life, and there was a big feud. Jeffrey Katzenberg had just left Pixar Disney over a fight with Michael Eisner, and because of that, kind of pushed up the release date of the movie so that it was in more direct competition with Bug's Life. I guess he must have been involved with Bug's Life before he left, and there was some hard feelings or whatever. But
is that Woody Allen in this?
Yeah,
he is.
He's the main guy.
Yep,
main dude. Him and Sylvester Stallone together at last.
Finally, yes.
Yeah.
If you've been looking for that great Sylvester Stallone Woody Allen project,
yeah. And it's a great Gene Hackman performance. People don't even remember he's in it, but he's a fantastic actor and character in this thing. He's mean and awful and great in it. So if you like Gene right. Hackman like I do, you probably want to check that out. But quick correction here, or just so the world knows, insects are animals, by the way. They are considered animals. So, Brian, you still...
I fit.
Yeah. They're not... I mean, nice. You're not going to look at it and go, hey, look at that animal. That's not what people usually do.
Right. You're not going to like go up to an exhibit in the zoo. Well, you probably, you know, some zoos actually do have like a creepy crawly section
sure.
where you're going to see yeah. millipedes and...
Here's your full answer. Insects belong to the largest phylum of the animal kingdom and are also called arthropods. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, insects are members of the arthropod phylum and make up 84% of the known animals on Earth. So there you go.
Well, humans are animals too.
Oh, Scott, you're in your big brain.
I'll well,
I've got nipples. Could you milk me?
All right, I'm going to play a clip now, and you're going to determine that it has nothing to do with anything we talked about with this theme.
All right,
but here it is, nonetheless. Here you go.
I know what you're thinking. It's a crazy way to make a living, isn't it? But I bet you Donny Osmond can't do it.
Yeah. Thor was like the savior of rock and roll for us back then.
Used to looking at Rod Stewart or Mick Jagger, and they're skinny, and they look like they've been drugged out, and this guy just looks so wonderful. I just want to go out and grab him.
I used to be a serious bodybuilder. I'm a serious rock and roller right now.
What didn't happen?
You had everything. They were also, they had the next mega star.
And then it just went about right down the tubes.
All right.
Is this wow.
Sounds like
HBO?
A documentary.
Not HBO.
Netflix.
Oh, you were thinking maybe Vinyl?
Either Vinyl or Roadies.
Nope. Yeah. It's a documentary, and it's on Netflix.
Is it about Pamela Debar?
Nope. It is about... I'm actually surprised Brian doesn't know, because for some reason, because it's music-related, I figured you'd know it off the top of your head.
No,
It is called I Am Thor, and it's a documentary about a Canadian bodybuilder-turned-musician that named himself Thor... and was huge for a little while and was bigger than like Twisted Sister, but he was in that kind of vein.
Wow.
The kind
really?
Of Twisted Sister stuff. Yeah. And it was like late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s. And then all of it went away because of some really poor business decisions. And now he's making a comeback and he's old and he's fat and it's kind of hard to watch. But it's really, really fascinating. I really like
it. Is he singing a song called Berserker?
No, I don't think so. But his first album, Let the Dogs Out or Watch Out for the Dogs or something like that. I forget the name of the album. I went and listened to it on streaming. It's actually not bad. If you're into like metal of that era, it's actually a pretty good album. Like surprisingly good.
Because somebody, I've never heard of this.
Because some punk magazine writer in the documentary said, it's still one of the most perfect rock albums ever made.
Wow.
And he said it with no irony. He's like, it's really good. And then the rest of the story is kind of sad and pathetic, but it's super fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I think, Brian, you'd like it a lot.
Yeah. I'm really bad with music documentaries. You'd think I'd see more of them just because I like music so much. And for a while, that Quello that you recommended, yeah. Nicole, I was going through concert films and stuff like that. They've got some music documentaries on there as well, and I just couldn't keep up with it. So I closed that temporarily, but at some point I'll probably bring it back in. But
yeah,
there's a lot of them I need to see.
And I love a good one. Like I love like that Rush one I watched, and I just I don't know what it is about music documentaries.
New York Dolls. I know you were talking about that.
I love New York Dolls, or New York Doll, I guess is what it was called.
New York Doll,
it was all
right.
About the bassist, but they just. There's something in there that is more than the music. Because in a lot of cases, I mean, I don't even care about New York Dolls music. I kind of find it annoying and loud and dumb. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even a fan of that. But I just like the stories that the rock and roll world produces.
Sure.
So anyway, highly recommended. It's called I Am Thor. It is on Netflix now.
Well, I think a lot of times it's an underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
They came from nothing and rose and made it. And then there's always...
Yeah, music is great at doing that.
So much drama to it.
Big time. It's like, oh, and then their drug period or the time he got eight roadies pregnant or, you know, like there's always some horrible thing that they have to overcome and then, you know, they figure it out later or whatever. It's music has like got all that drama in it, especially rock and roll. And it's always fascinating to me. So there you go. All right, Nicole, what do you got?
So I'm on Mark's computer. I have no idea if you're going to hear this. I'll play it. If not, I'll send you the link.
No problem. Okay. I like this. It's my favorite themes, by the way, when you come on, is whether or not Mark's setup is going to work. It's my favorite.
Well, we took the podcasting rig to Missouri with us. Mm. And that's how I spoke with you last time.
Mm-hmm.
We just got in yesterday, so everything's still in boxes.
And boy, are my arms tired.
All right.
So let's see. I'm just going to play and tell me if you can hear it.
All right. Nope.
Nope. Can't hear it.
Ah, damn. All right, Scott. Here you go.
All right. You got a link there you're going to give me?
I did it. Of course. Don't look at it, Brian.
All right, Brian. Don't look at it. I'm a cheat. Oh, I still have that anime thing in my face. Hold on. Okay. There we go. All right.
Walter, look! These adorable little freaks are headed to Orlando, too.
Yeah, I see that. Hey, Walter Jr.
What's happening?
Tina?
Hi.
Pinky?
Woo, woo.
What do you say we give these fellas a ride?
Yay! New friends!
All aboard the Nelson Express!
You, One Eye, you're sitting next to me!
Okay, mime casos. Okay, Marky.
You can stop it now. Right.
Brian, you got any idea on that?
Is it like Fairly Odd Parents or something like that?
It's Minions. Minions 2?
Minions.
Or just Minions?
Oh,
it's okay. The Minions movie. It's streaming on Netflix. I've watched this like 5 times with Mateo.
Yeah, big shock. The target audience really likes these movies.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It is a cute movie. So.
Yeah, Minions cracked me up. This reviewed poorly, but I think it's
cute. Yeah,
I don't think there's... Yeah. This is the kind of movie where I don't think any serious film critic should even be allowed to watch it, because who gives a crap? They're funny Minions.
I like the preview, yeah.
They're just funny Minions that say stupid stuff, and it's good. You know what? They're kind of animals. I'll give you this one.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
That's about as animal as I could get.
Yeah, and they're in a car. Wasn't the car one of the places they had to hang out or something?
I
don't remember either.
I don't know. But there is a courtroom. I don't know. Was that a courtroom? Was there a courtroom?
I don't remember. Was there a little court thing going on?
Ever in a bedroom?
There's a lot of famous actors voicing the cast in this. So Sandra Bullock, John Hamm, Michael Keaton, Steve Coogan, Jeffrey Rush.
Mm. Oh, I love Jeffrey Rush and everything ever. He's so good. He was a pelican in the first Finding Nemo movie. There, he was great in that. Oh my gosh, that guy's great. Let's all sing the praises of that guy.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It has rude humor, so If you're not a fan of rude humor.
And by what? That, like lots of...
What are you doing listening to this show?
Lots of fart jokes, lots of burp jokes, that kind of stuff. Yeah, right. They're big on that. Yeah, nothing wrong with the Minions. Minions are fine. It's all fine. Well, there's your fine recommendals for the week. Do we have a theme for next week?
Brian, do you got the game handy? I can get it.
I got it right here. Hold on.
Oh, well, there you go.
Brian's got everything within reach. What's that Overwatch thing? Is that the coasters we got, Brian?
Yes, right here.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Aren't those awesome? Ugh, so cool.
Totally awesome.
Yeah, I love mine. I still have yet to put a drink on it, though.
No, but I'm not going to. I want to keep it pristine and nice. Yeah. And
keeping it forever. Stuff. I love that thing.
All right, so let me unwrap the plastic, wrapped in plastic, of the other deck here, which is props, theme, and genre.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't realize you hadn't unwrapped it yet.
I have not even played this yet, if you can believe that. I'm waiting for my uncle to come up here because...
Oh, my gosh.
The crazy neighbors are worse than Scott when it comes to remembering names and actors and movies and stuff. So every guest that they would be like Forrest Gump or...
I think the sole reason for us moving there is to play board games with you.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I had a really good board game table. I just wish I had one.
Yeah, too bad you don't have one.
I know someone who could create a really cool board game table.
I know somebody.
All right, so I'll give you guys the choice. Theme and genre, setting, or props. We're going to pick two of those.
Okay.
So hey, give me...
Move to Salt Lake first, build me that table, then move to Denver.
Why don't you both move to Denver and then just make things a lot easier.
All right, see you then.
Okay, we're going to start with props. So the movie must contain... a sword, a fishing pole, or a death ray. And what do you want? Setting or theme and genre?
Setting.
Setting. All right. And it must take place in the future.
Oh, the future.
Easy with the death ray.
Yeah.
Death ray,
or
future.
A sword.
Got it.
Or sword.
Nailed it. All right. Well, that's what we're going to do next week. Nicole Spag, everybody. Yay. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Home at last. And then moving soon. Well, how soon? Do you know what the timeline is?
I don't. We don't have any idea on the timeline. We're in the process of talking at this point.
Yeah. Well, so. talking first, moving later. I understand. Yeah. This totally works. Yeah.
If it works out, soon. If it doesn't work out, not so soon.
All right. Drive through Salt Lake so I can say hi and then bring your giant truck here. Okay. Bye now. All right. Cool. That was that. And as you know, Brian, we do that, but then we quickly add Tom.
Yes. Quickly, before the dust has a chance to settle.
Yeah, we don't want that in our lives. But I'm going to play his little theme here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
It's Tom Merritt, everybody, with the
He's a Skeksis all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, they're still making that sequel. I'm pretty excited about it.
Great. Yeah. It should be great with all the time they're spending on it.
We're going to get a Warcraft sequel?
Yeah, that too.
I read it lost money even with China.
It's going to be on Chinese with American subtitles. I care American. English subtitles. Yeah. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. The tech maven, I call him. He's this guy that does a lot of technology stuff, reporting and coverage, and really he's your voice. He's the man who tells you what to think and do about technology.
Wow.
Well, maybe not. That's not quite what I meant.
You have installed the iOS beta.
You will like cheese and you will despise corn.
That's right. I do both those things, so we're already ahead of the game. Tom's here on Wednesdays to talk about some of that stuff in advance for today's Daily Tech News Show, which I'm also on.
I like to think of myself as an obsessive compulsive who can't stop reading tech news every day, so benefits you by boiling it down and helping you understand.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it. And it actually does that thing, I think, for me and many others. Even though I'm part of the proceedings today, you usually take the lead because you always know what the hell's going on. So what's going on today? What's happening?
Wow, so much stuff, and all of it is Pokemon Go.
Oh, great.
It's like half the stories.
That's all right. It's you today. And Lester Holt. And listen, you know, they talked about that on the Today Show this morning, but then they had a Phil Rossum, is that the guy's name? An expose on claw games. Are they rigged?
Whoa.
That was on the Today Show today, in the first hour of the Today Show.
Wait, claw games?
Hold on, breaking news here, Brian. You're telling me Pokemon Go has reached the popularity of claw games.
Wow.
Yes, it has.
Are they rigged?
Claw games. Are they rigged?
You know what? I'm just going to answer that question.
Yes. They're totally rigged. Yeah, exactly. They don't. It's like those bottles and those things at the fair. It's all rigged. Are you kidding
me? It was funny to learn how well they're rigged. I was up there watching it while I was trying to get the internet back working. But it was really interesting to see. They've got a little knob in the back that controls the
grippy it'll get.
Basically, how powerful the claw is. If it'll pick up an immediate tension. I'm sorry. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
The tension of the claw, and also. It's initial pickup tension, but then also as it moves to the box, it could lose tension, and you can set it so that it only holds its tension one out of every 25 times that it goes to the drop spot.
It's gambling. Yeah. It's gambling.
It is gambling.
It's interesting to know how it works, though.
Yeah. It's gambling for children, literally. Mm-hmm. And they're in every Denny's for a reason. That's really stupid, those things.
Anyway, let's talk Pokemon Go.
Yeah, what's going on? What's happening?
Here's a rough version of what I'll be putting in Daily Tech Headlines here in a minute. Germany gets it today.
Yeah.
So now there's a fourth country that officially has it, but everybody's adding it anyway. In fact, Eileen was saying to me yesterday, she's like, wait, I have a friend in Europe who's playing it. I'm like, yeah, she probably sideloaded it or spoofed her location. And in South Korea, interestingly, the game relies on Google Maps everywhere. Mm-hmm. In South Korea, Google Maps is restricted because of security concerns with North Korea. Mm-hmm. So even if you sideload it there, unlike other places, it just may not be able to see the map because of how that works. And that's something Pokemon Go or Niantic is going to have to try to overcome in order to launch this eventually in South Korea, which is the fourth largest gaming market in the world, I think.
Yeah.
But there is one town called Sokcho, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, near the North Korean border that is apparently misclassified in Google Maps as not being in South Korea. And so the maps work there.
Oh,
and
weird.
So they're getting this influx of people traveling to Sokcho to play Pokemon Go because the word is out on the street now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You said something earlier. I just wanted to mention it's this total side thing, but you said Germany gets it today.
Yeah.
And in my head, the meaning of that was Germany finally gets it. Like it finally dawned on them why this is popular.
So instead all the Germans today were like, augmented reality.
Oh, I totally understand now. Let's go get some Pokemon. Yeah, you got to catch them all. Anyway, so there's that. Let's get that out of the way.
Them all.
There's a good bingo space for everybody. Get the German voice.
I haven't done that in a while. All right. The other thing is these stories are popping up everywhere, and I've been trying to explain to people. This one's actually pretty unique in almost everything about it, but these ones like the National Cemetery doesn't want people doing it there, or these other, the Holocaust Museum should not be a place where there's Pokemon.
Right. And by the way, Niantic has a form for locations to request that they be removed from the map.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how responsive they are to that form, but they at least have set up a system. And that's, another side story that everybody's been talking about with this game is just how buggy the thing is. Mm-hmm. And yet people continue to persevere and play it despite having to close it and kill it and relaunch it and wonder if they actually got credit for the creature that they just caught. It's crazy.
Yeah. So do you have a I don't know, what do you think the half-life is on this thing? Like how long do you think we're crazy and insane and then things go back to kind of normal?
Don't ask me. Ask Diamond Club member Mitzula, who works in Las Vegas. And in fact, that's what we talked about this on the show yesterday. Eric asked Mitzula on Twitter to give us odds. Here was Mitzula's response. Pokemon Go hysteria has 8 days left. So he said that yesterday. So 7 days left now.
Yeah.
And has until August 1st to have decent use. Then it'll fall back to a niche game again.
Wow. Interesting.
Okay. That's it. That is interesting.
I can't wait to be walking down the Las Vegas Strip and have somebody just stop right in front of me because there's a Squirtle nearby.
Oh my gosh. There'd probably just be a minion in a suit that's smoking underneath that thing.
Right, exactly.
So yesterday we went out for dinner because it was Eileen's birthday and we went to her favorite restaurant and had a lovely dinner. It's down by the Manhattan Beach Pier. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards she said, well, let's walk down to the pier, which so far the story is just a lovely evening, a couple steak. Enjoying a birthday. Yeah. What she wanted to do was find all the Pokestops. because she had noticed, because she had been playing the game all the way in the car ride there, that there were a ton of them down by the Manhattan Beach Pier. So we walked down, and there were dozens of people out. You could tell they're like, a couple of people saw over our shoulder that we had them. They're like, hey, Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the coolest feeling when you're around a bunch of other people also doing it and cheering each other on and just having a good time.
Yeah. I'm starting to worry about the backlash that always comes with these things. People are so saturated with it now on not just social media and sort of, the secular internet, but also it's now showing up in mainstream media and on TV and everything. At some point, that exhaustion in some people's minds starts to get real negative, and I'm a little worried about that. People are going to start just saying, I'm sick of this. If I hear one more thing, I'm unfollowing her. That backlash.
And I definitely heard a couple of grumblings from people who saw it, not just us, but other people like, look at all these people just looking down at their phones. It's a game you play until you figure out how it works. Then you get bored. One person say.
Yeah. And maybe that's true. Niantic's, or I never say their name right. How do you say it? I say Niantic. Niantic? Whatever it is.
I never asked.
Pedantic.
Niancat?
Niancat. That's it. Or whatever.
That's it.
That's not it at all.
Totally it. Dead right. It was. Were you playing the bit?
I don't know what I was doing. They've come out. Brian and I talked about this at the top of the show. They came out and said and made it very clear that hey, we're going to do biweekly updates. We're going to really get behind this thing. One would assume from those kinds of comments that they're going to really flesh it out as a game experience. So maybe it's not going to have the quick death of the flash in the pan kind of experience and turn into a niche game the way that, you know, their other game did. It's got longer legs because they've got the sheer blunt force of Nintendo and the two other companies that co-own or have investments in the Pokemon company behind it. We saw Nintendo's stock rise to ridiculous levels just because of this game, and their logo's not even on the damn thing. Like, it is a weird phenomenon, and if they play their cards right, they could very easily make this the first true living game experience that the most people are playing for the longest period of time. And finally, an AR experience that anyone gives a rat's a about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think this will continue to be popular to a certain extent. I don't think that the things that we're seeing now where I saw a couple dozen people at the pier all playing this at once, that's going to die off. Mm-hmm. Just like any game, right? Clash Royale. It apparently is now more popular than Candy Crush. It has more daily active users. What is it? 21 million daily active users in the US, making it the most popular mobile game in US history. That's already set records. And even if it does decline, it'll still have a number of people continuing to play it. And like you said, they only have 250 actual pets. Would you just call them Pokemon? I guess you call them Pokemon.
Yeah,
I'm an old man.
Pocket monsters.
They have 250 of them in there, and they're going to keep adding because there are more that have been created in the existence of the franchise. So, they're going to add trading once they've figured out the economy, and then everybody can complain about that and how it ruined it.
Yep.
It's going to continue to grow. But it won't. This initial spike these first couple of weeks, I don't think will ever be matched again. The question is, where will it level off?
Yeah.
And how will they be able to keep a number of people playing it? I can't see myself and Eileen continuing to play it for years, but it certainly is fun right now. And it definitely, I think the most important thing you said, Scott, was it has put augmented reality on the map. Mm-hmm. Now you can say to someone augmented reality, they'll say, what's that? You can say Pokemon Go. They'll say, oh yeah, I saw that on the Today Show.
Yeah, that's a good point. That actually really forced it into everyone's view in a way that we haven't had up till now. It's an interesting article from Polygon. Once in a while, Polygon has some kind of baity headlines, but this headline's interesting. Analyst says Apple, Google, Niantic are likely making more on Pokemon Go than Nintendo is. That's probably true. I don't know about Niantic.
Just through the app stores, maybe.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. remembering that, you know, Niantic's doing this on behalf of the Pokemon Company, which is a three-company subsidiary thing that Nintendo is owning.
Nintendo owns 33% of Pokemon Company, which is in collaboration with Niantic, which is operating the game, which collects the in-app payments, which 30% goes to Apple. I mean, yeah, it's possible.
The big winner here, I don't want to piss people off. The big winner here is Apple, dude. To some degree, you could say
Android.
Yeah, you could say Android, but the big winner here, because of the percentage thing on microtransactions,
Oh, right.
Is I mean, they're smart. As much as people may hate that, yeah, it's really smart.
You know, they don't make most of their money off this game, but they certainly aren't getting a little unexpected windfall, aren't they?
Oh, big time. Yeah, it's super interesting. And I'm, as much as some people may be sick of it, I'm very interested in the, all the surrounding connected tissue of what it means, what it pretends for the future, what other games may go for this. You know, like, why there's not, well, it's probably too soon, but if they're, in a perfect world, there would be a ripoff of this coincide with the Ghostbusters release. And you'd be out hunting for ghosts and capturing them in little boxes, yeah, which is basically Pokemon. Yeah. You know, like, why isn't that a thing?
There's already a knockoff game in China because Pokemon Go is not launched in China. That is number one in China.
Yeah.
And it, and there are malware games you'll hear about, too. But I'm not talking about that. This is a game that does not steal your identity. It's a legitimate game. Mm-hmm. It's just doing a similar thing to what Niantic did.
Yeah. And by the way, China, their turnaround on ripping something off is insane. Yeah. It's insane. They do in like a week what takes development studios a couple of years to get done. It's crazy.
Totally. Yes.
I don't know how that works. Anyway, I guess it's true of a lot of manufacturing there, even.
Oh, by the way, Strike It Rich brought up the sore point. BlackBerry and Microsoft Windows Phone users cannot play Pokemon.
Damn
Go
straight on. You can't.
Wow. Shots fired at the poor.
No kidding.
At the 1%.
The 1%. The 0.3%. Just kidding. All right. So later today, this and other stories will certainly be percolating on the stove known as Daily Tech News Show, hosted by Tom Merritt. And
yeah, we had a main discussion about Pokemon Go's phenomenon yesterday, so I doubt we'll spend. What I'm saying is, don't worry, it won't become the Pokemon Go show.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it, but we'll have other things to talk about.
Yeah, Pokemon Gone is the new name of the show.
Already.
Yeah. Goodbye. So that'll be good. Tom, anything else happening in your world that people should know about?
Yes. We just updated the brief guide to cord cutting. I think I may have mentioned this on Current Geek, but if you missed it, it's a 99-cent ebook that you can get that just runs down all the gear, all the devices, and most importantly, like, what are the questions you need to ask yourself if you're like, well, I want to get into this cord cutting thing, but I don't know how to replace my programming. You got to determine, like, what is the programming you really need? And then we lay out all the services and gear for you. And there's even a handy chart in the back that kind of collects it all together. So you can find that at tommerrittbooks.com. Just look for the brief guide to cord cutting or search for it on Amazon. 99 cents and newly updated with all the new services.
Is there a whole chapter on how when your internet's out, your life is real bad if you're a cord cutter? No? Okay. Well, Brian,
there's no chapter on like when the cable's out, life is real bad as a cable subscriber. Everybody just knows that. That's
okay. You don't. Okay. So no
accepted fact.
Yeah. No need to explain. I get it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Check that out. 2:30 today. Tom Merritt. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. All right. Oh, that's weird. I hung up on Brian. Gosh, dang it. Why did I do that? Oh, hi.
Scott hangs up on Brian.
Oh, hi. Hitting that old hang-up button there, and don't know what happened. I do know what happened. I was being dumb. That's the end of our broadcast day. Tomorrow, we'll be back. Wendy will be back with Therapy Thursday. We've missed having her on, so she'll be here for that. The TMSPM tomorrow, all this normal Thursday business will happen.
A normal week, Scott, after a non-normal week, a couple of non-normal weeks.
Yeah, it's been nuts. Summer's crazy. I'll tell you what. July and June for me, bonkers around here.
Yeah, no, me too.
Like, I'm kind of super glad I don't have Nerdtacular in the month of July because it has been wacko.
Mm-hmm.
But good, in lots of good ways, a few bad ways, but mostly good ways. Good ways are that tomorrow we'll be back. So come on back tomorrow and check us out, everybody. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to support us. Thank you all who have. Don't forget to visit us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. All our contact details are there. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, and at Morningstream for the show. That twill do it. Do you have some music to play?
I do. Yay. This one goes out to our buddy Luke. He's a barbecue this guy from Texas. Mm. Greetings, steak and brisket. July 12th, yesterday, will once again be Barbecue This Guy Appreciation Day. A fun fact about this day has been declared that those born on July 12th, 1981, would be exempt from being considered dirty millennials. Mm. Prove it! You can't! I'm requesting a cover from any cartoon or TV show from the early 80s. I trust that the cover master in his judgment will come up with something. If not, maybe a clip about Brian's sausage. Oh, what? Thing. Are you prepared?
Mmm, sausage.
I'll take that one. Sausages.
All right, those are your two sausages. That's perfect. All I got.
Those are my two preferred ones. thanks for all the amazing shows. Much love, Luke. Also, shout out to the whole Tadpool. I don't get in much live, but the couple times I have, I was included like I'm in every day. So, yep. Awesome. Happy birthday,
very,
Luke.
Very inclusive group, that group.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember when we were talking about you being out here and when we can go get some barbecue together, but I can't remember when that was or is. Regardless, let's get to a cover of a theme song from a TV show from the early 80s. This one comes from the appropriately named music group Stay Tuned from their 2010 album, The Last TV Dinner. This is the show that gave us a very young George Clooney and a Tootie and a Blair and a Joe and a Natalie and all that. It is Stay Tuned and The Facts of Life.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Beep, boom, ba-dee-doo, doom, ba-doom, beep, boom.